This is The Rotunda. I'm Tramell Gomes. Cubans pour into the streets of Miami to celebrate the death of Fidel Castro. We get reactions from Senator Marco Rubio.
So his death is a historical milestone, and I imagine a psychological one for a lot of people.
Right.
But from a practical standpoint, Cuba today is governed exactly the same way as it was 48 hours ago.
Congresswoman Ileana Ross-Lehtinen.
I heard a lot of accolades about the great strides in literacy and against malnutrition and education. We know better.
Is change coming to Florida politics after decades of influence by Castro? We'll talk about it, plus a conversation with lobbyist Ron Book about his family's rise to power in Florida's capital.
I never want anybody to think we take this process for granted, and I will never take advantage of the process.
All that and more coming up on episode 85 of The Rotunda. Welcome to The Rotunda, a podcast about the people and issues shaping Florida politics. What you hear right there is Pitbull, a Cuban-American artist and Florida's official tourism ambassador, foreshadowing the news of Fidel Castro's death with his song, which translates to "It's Over Now." It's almost like a dream come true. 47 years Fidel, when he might be through. Everybody put your Cuban flags. I say, whoa, who I see, Castro. Everybody put your Cuban flags. I say, whoa, who I see, Castro. Maybe now people can be free. No more 90-mile journeys to the Keys. No more risking the life of freedom. I'm hoping he's dead, cause we don't need him. Ha! Well, this time it's real, and Cubans poured into the streets of Miami not only with Cuban flags, but with pots and pans. Of course, reactions also started to pour in. There was a big distinction from world leaders. Most took a pass on the vitriolic responses and celebratory tone from the streets of Miami and instead offered condolences from President Obama, Prime Minister of Canada, Russia, India, and British leaders, to name a few. But in Miami, where Fidel Castro has played an important role in Florida politics, careers have been built by those standing in opposition to the now deceased dictator. Here is U.S. Representative Ileana Ross-Lehtinen, known as the Dean of South Florida's Cuban-American delegation in Congress.
And I'm joined by Congressman Mario Diaz-Balart, Carlos Curbelo, and our still and current Congressman Lincoln Diaz-Balart, because he is very much a part of our congressional family.
This, for them, marked the end of a political era, but they aren't expecting much of what is known to change.
With the news that Fidel Castro has died, I join with the Cuban-American community and the people of Cuba who have lived for decades under this regime in closing one chapter of this nightmare. The political transition in Cuba had already occurred years ago, so don't expect changes coming from Fidel's death. The only thing Fidel Castro has been successful at was staying in power, period. I heard a lot of accolades about the great strides in literacy and against malnutrition and education. We know better.
Marco Rubio shared similar sentiments with Chuck Todd on Meet the Press.
His death is a historical milestone, and I imagine a psychological one for a lot of people.
Right.
But from a practical standpoint, Cuba today is governed exactly the same way as it was 48 hours ago.
Do you hold on any hope that it's possible Raul Castro was holding off on making some changes while Fidel was alive?
No. I mean, Raul Castro's 85. So I hear people say the younger Castro is 85 years old, and he's basically been involved in the government of that country since day one. He's basically been governing it for the last 10 years.
Rubio early on joined forces with many and stood in opposition to President Barack Obama's attempts to open back diplomatic relations with the island. Here is President Obama on his historic trip to Cuba last year at the newly reopened U.S. Embassy there.
It's been nearly 90 years since the U.S. president stepped foot in Cuba. It is wonderful to be here. Back in 1928, President Coolidge came on a battleship It took him 3 days to get here. It only took me 3 hours. For the first time ever, Air Force One has landed in Cuba, and this is our very first stop. So this is a historic visit, and it's a historic opportunity to engage directly with the Cuban people and to forge new agreements and commercial deals, to build new ties between our two peoples, and for me to lay out my vision for a future that's brighter than our past.
Back then, Florida lawmakers like Miami Senator Anna Terry Flores criticized the Obama administration for its stance. During our conversation, she explained why people are so passionate about U.S.-Cuba relations.
This is, of course, a very, very complicated issue, the issue of Cuba, because it is so, it's so personal to so many people.
And you as well?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, my mother came from Cuba when she was 9 years old. She, you know, went to school in the morning and in the afternoon took a ferry with her uniform on and came to the United States and never was able to go back. And that story can be repeated, you know, a million times from people and Cuban exiles in Florida and across the United States. And so it's a very, very complicated and personal issue. And really what we wanted to do up to right now is just ensure that that there's information that people understand what the reality of Cuba is, understand that Cuba is a country where visitors and tourists can have the very best and maybe eat at the best restaurants, but where Cubans get a ration book every week and are told what to eat that month. That's a very different reality than what is existing.
That's incoming Senate President Pro Tem Annie Terry Flores. From our archive, episode 5 of The Rotunda. On episode 18, you'll find another in-depth conversation with Dr. Brian Littell, Senior Research Associate at the Institute for Cuban and Cuban American Studies at the University of Miami.
The Obama administration, as I understand it, is counting on a longer-term payoff, and already there's probably some short-term payoff. Perceptions of the United States and the rest of Latin America and the Caribbean have improved markedly since Obama took this initiative to bury the hatchet with Cuba. Latin Americans, Caribbean governments have uniformly been angry about the American policy of isolating Cuba. So that's been a plus.
But will these longer-term payoffs see the light of day? Here's Marco Rubio on Meet the Press talking about how he hopes President-elect Trump will reverse some of those policies.
You put out a statement a couple weeks ago after the election saying this: rolling back President Obama's one-sided concessions to the Castro regime, a key campaign promise shared with President-elect Trump, will be a top priority for me next year.
Yes, absolutely.
Are you convinced it's a top priority for President-elect Trump that he will?
I am.
Okay.
That is fascinating. As a top priority for President-elect Trump. However, during the campaign trail, he sent mixed signals, Trump that is, on his plans. Even today, they're not firm.
So let me ask you this. So you're going to fight to lift, to put back in the travel sanctions on commercial and private travel? Are you going to put Cuba back on the state sponsor of terrorism list? Are you going to close the embassy? What are you going to do?
First of all, I think we want to look at all the changes that were made, because let's take a step back. Everything should be guided by our goal. Our goal is not to punish. Our goal is to figure out what can we do through U.S. policy to, number one, look out for the national interest of the United States, and number two, to help create an environment where we are creating the potential for a transition to a democratic order in Cuba at some point in the near future.
Back in Miami, the celebration continues. Here is South Florida's Local 10 News speaking with Miami Cuban salsero Willie Chirino.
Mixed emotions. We feel peace of mind for the fact that the head of the snake is gone, the person who has caused so much suffering.
Mi padre me vistió de marinero. Tuve que navegar 90 millas y comenzar mi vida de extranjero, huyéndole a la hoz y al verde hundido,
All right, to dig deeper on what Fidel Castro's death will mean for Florida politics, check out the Sun Sentinel article by reporter Anthony Mann. It's a great piece. Also, the mixed reactions with regards to Castro's death, especially in the black community, where black radicals owe a great deal to Fidel Castro, as it's been mentioned, what his legacy will mean. It truly is a mixed bag. This is because Castro was seen as a hero and inspiration to world leaders such as Nelson Mandela and Bolivian President Evo Morales, and to many black revolutionaries and scholars who took inspiration from his ideology of activism, socialism, and nationalism. But Castro's totalitarianism also inspired a great deal of pushback from human rights organizations. You're listening to The Rotunda. I'm Tramell Gomes, your host of this award-winning podcast about the people and issues shaping Florida politics. This program is in need of your support. Here's how you can help. Visit rotundapodcast.com. Follow us on social media, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. Fill out our listener survey on rotundapodcast.com and let us know what you think about this program. See, that's simple. But here's what else you can do. Sponsor this program, you or your company. Visit rotundapodcast.com to learn more about our underwriting opportunities. And as always, thanks for your support. All right, last week, lawmakers filled Florida's Capitol just for a day for their organizational session and getting prepped for committee weeks and the 2017 lawmaking session. But it was a big emotional day for one of the Capitol's top lobbyists, Ron Book. He was able to witness his daughter, Lauren, not only get sworn in as a new senator, but she also got voted into leadership as Senate Democratic Leader Pro Tem.
I just wanted to chat with both of you about the occasion.
Sure. This is my husband, Blair.
Yes. Good to see you. Good to see you.
Here's my conversation with Senator Book and her dad with the rest of the family surrounding after witnessing the milestone.
So from coming here as a kid, being dragged here by your father, and now officially here as part of your job, how was it like for both of you guys to share this moment?
For me, it's surreal. I mean, my brother would ride his tricycle around the fourth floor rotunda. And so, you know, we've always been here. And so we have a really deep respect for the process, and it's a different thing to be in that chamber. And it makes me feel so proud. And I know that we've been crying a lot and proud a lot and excited, but it's an exciting time.
Ron Book, how about you?
You know, when you think about how long I've been coming here and then how long we've been coming here, and you think about the odyssey that we've been on for the last 15 years since the discovery of her abusive situation, and all we can do is give our kids the tools, the education, and the opportunity, and you hope that they learn to seize on it.
As you may recall, Lauren Book from the Walk in My Shoes campaign, you'd probably seen her around the state walking some 1,500 miles to raise awareness for preventing childhood sexual abuse, all stemming from a personal experience involving her housekeeper.
If she did nothing else but write a single book, but she wrote two. If she did nothing else but write curriculum, she's now taught in 60,000 classrooms in Florida, now all across the country in the K-12 world, it'd be sufficient. But now the opportunity that she has chosen to seize, to serve in that body down there, a place that I certainly have the highest level of respect for. I mean, to me, when we walked in there yesterday, we walked in before anybody walked in there at 4:45 yesterday.
Yeah.
And I was in awe, almost like the first time I walked into that historic state capitol in the early 70s and went to work there before this building was built. It was just one of those moments. And then to sit up in the gallery and watch the caucus and watch her basically overnight be elected because of the respect of 14 other members of the Democratic caucus to be the number two ranking Democrat to help lead and to guide was as much of a parent's pride place as anything that I could possibly really fairly describe as a parent.
You're listening to Senator Lauren Book with Father veteran lobbyist Ron Book here on The Rotunda.
How do you guys feel? Like, is this a dynasty in the making here, or what's happening as the little one is growing inside you?
Like, two of them, two. Actually.
A oh, wow.
Boys,
yeah.
A boy and a girl. They'll be with us. We're really lucky to be able to have these kids in early February, so they're going to be on that first plane with us. We're not going to miss a day of session, and just like we did.
Yeah.
And so we're excited. We're proud, and we can't wait to kind of bring and usher forth a new generation into public service, and that's really what this is all about.
You guys won't be like a very powerful family, the Book name, in these halls. How does that make you feel, Ron Book?
I never want anybody to think we take this process for granted, and I will never take advantage of the process. What it does is it allows her to take those tools that she has picked up over all these years and turn it into something better. She came here to be a member, to make change, to bring about change, to make Florida the greatest place for all of the people that live here. And as she brings two little babies into the world as another generation of the family, you get the opportunity to shape the laws that they get to live within in the future. It's to me, to us, it's an enormous opportunity, and you don't want to squander that opportunity. You want to build on it, and that's what she's going to have the opportunity to
do. Well, thank you guys for taking this time to speak with me. Enjoy.
That's it for this edition of The Rotunda. Special thanks to Senator Lauren Book and lobbyist Ron Book. Remember to visit rotundapodcast.com, take a moment to fill out our listener survey, and be sure to join us again next week right here for more stories about the people and issues shaping Florida politics. I'm Tramell Gomes.